Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's good to worship in the house. Amen. It's okay to have fun in the house of God. Did you know that? It is okay. It is allowed. Children, those of you who are able to and want to, we are going to be starting back up children's ministry. So if you want to go downstairs and join the crew down there, they're going to have a great rest of the time together. Those who are up here with us, if I can have a person or persons potentially help with the Bibles, that would be awesome. There are Bibles in the back, and if anybody is interested in grabbing one of those, today we are going to be looking at the scriptures together. We desire to have more familiarity with the book, and so we'd love to get that in your hands if you'd like. And so, again, if you'd like one, just raise your hand, and the ushers will come around and give one to you. Thank you so much for those who are helping us distribute the scriptures, the Bibles, and I have one up here for myself. We're going to be looking primarily in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. So if you can find that, and I believe Matthew chapter 24 is in page 806. Oh yeah, 806, 806 and 805, chapter 24. We're starting from the first verse, and we'll get there in a moment. Amen? Before we do that, let's pray and ask God to be with us. I know he is already here, but let's ask him to bless the word. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what a joy to be able to see and celebrate life transformation and the work that you're doing in all of our hearts. We thank you for families and couples that come to you, God, and are transformed by your love. What an amazing thing that your grace would reach out to us, that you would have mercy on the persons like us, that you would have mercy on a person like me. Lord, I thank you for that this morning. Thank you for reminding us that you're still in the business of changing and touching lives. Father, I ask that your spirit would move among us today. From your word, we need to hear today. We need some word that will touch our hearts and our minds, will draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord. We trust you. We need you. So many, God, they put their trust in all kinds of different things, different people, different beliefs, God. We, as we've sung earlier, believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would minister to us today here. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but what I get done in my life is the things that I'm accountable for. So, for example, if I want to work out, which I need to hit the gym again, right? If I want to do that, here's what I realize that I need. I need accountability. Don't say accountability. Accountability, and it's kind of an odd word. It's kind of a serious word. But the reality is, if I want to eat better, if I want to exercise, if I want to start reading more, if I'm part of a book club, how many of you know that if I'm part of a book club with people that I'm going to have to look every week at and talk to them, I'm going to read the book. Are you with me? Because I'm accountable to that. If I'm part of a workout group, okay, I'm going to go because I don't want to let my team down. If I, all these things in my life, I recognize that I will do what I'm accountable for. So usually, when I want to get something done, I'll say, okay, when's the date that needs to be done by, and who's going to hold me accountable or the organization accountable? Because what we're accountable for gets done. When I was in college, I had a wonderful kind of mentor leader who said simply these words: without accountability, there is no motivation to change. Without accountability, there is no motivation to change. After the tragic loss of Pastor Joanne, one of the things that held me accountable was my kids. I still needed to be there for them. And even though I was in pain and in sorrow and I wanted to just kind of not think about life because I had gone through something so difficult, my kids, I knew that they needed me. And so I did what I had to do because someone needed me and I was accountable to them. I was accountable to our family. Are you with me? Sometimes life is not so much about these big lofty goals. Sometimes it's about, you know, we accomplish something if somebody holds us accountable. I remember in school, I was not the best student in the world. I'm not naturally just a great student who spends hours and hours studying. But my two closest friends in school, by God's grace and mercy, happened to be bookworms. And we played sports and stuff, but when they came down to study, and they would say, no, I'm not going to go out on Friday night. I'm not going to go out and hang out with the guys. I'm not going to go play basketball. I am studying. And I saw that. And because I hung out with them, and they kind of helped me accountable to studies, I did the best I could because they helped me along. Amen? I don't know about you, but I do what I'm accountable for. We've been talking about the champion of heaven for the past few weeks. And we've talked about how the champion, Jesus Christ, overcame different things through the scriptures and through history. We talked about how the champion of heaven overcame the grave and death. Most people are afraid of a lot of things, but they are really afraid of dying. And we talked about how when Jesus overcame the grave and death, now we don't have to be afraid anymore because we trust in Jesus and we're with him. Amen? We get to be with him eternally, as the scripture says. He also overcame the enemy, the devil. And we talked about how the devil came and tempted Jesus. There was a battle royal between Jesus and the devil. And he tempted Jesus. And every time that Jesus was tempted, the Bible says that his reply was, "It is written. It is written." And one of the things that we talk about is we encourage you. I encourage myself. I encourage anyone that I work with to be in the Word. To get some Word inside of you. The Bible says, how can a person keep his way pure? By living according to the Word. Amen. It's not living according to what MTV says. It's not living according to what my friend down the street says. But living according to the Word of God will get me to a place that is different and will allow me to overcome the enemy in my life. Amen. Just like it did with Jesus. We talked about how Jesus overcame sickness, disease, grief, and depression. Last week, we talked about how he overcame the world systems. The world says take. The world says be popular, be famous. The world says get as much as you can. Jesus says give your life away. The world says in order to lead, you got to stomp on people and tell people what to do. And as Sister Julia says, Jesus says the greatest one is the one who serves. He overcame the world. Today, we're talking about the champion of heaven. And here's the simple title of today. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. I don't know if any of you are fans of Lord of the Rings, but in the story of the Lord of the Rings, and if you're not familiar with it, I won't mess it up for you if you ever have a chance to read the books or what have you. There's some movies out there as well. But one of the titles of the last book is called The Return of the King. And in this particular story, there is a kingdom in chaos. There is a battle for Middle Earth. Where is Middle Earth? I don't know. It's a fictitious place, okay? It's a world that the author created. But there's a battle for Middle Earth. And in the story of the Return of the King, the kingdom of Gondor, the king is not there. And there's a guy who's kind of out there. They call him, he's like a ranger, and they have all these names for him. But he's kind of like out there. People are kind of scared of him. They don't know what his deal is. Well, it turns out that he, by bloodline, is actually the rightful heir to the throne of Gondor. And so part of this story, again, without giving too much away, is that because the king is not seated on the throne and nobody can see him there, people are afraid. People are confused. They're running to all kinds of places. But part of the story is that the return of the king will bring about order, will restore prosperity to the kingdom. Everyone's waiting for the king to return. And no one really realized that this guy that seemed ordinary was actually a king. Do you know that the story of God and the story of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus came into this world, and he came to those who were his own, the Bible says, but his own did not receive him. Did you know that? They thought of him as, who is this strange man? Who is this guy who's walking around talking about these different things, healing people? Who is this man? And they didn't realize that the bloodline that he had was the very bloodline of God himself. And that he is a king. And today we're talking about Jesus, the champion of heaven, who's coming back again, the return of the king. I'm a bottom line kind of person. If I want to get anything done, I need to be accountable for it. He's coming back again gives me an idea that there will come a day, something is going to happen when Jesus comes back, and all of us will have to give account. We'll all have to give account. The scripture says in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the first verse, Jesus, and if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. First verse, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. So they called, hey, what's going on with these buildings? And I shared with the early service, if you've ever been to New York City, if you're not from there, like I'm not from there, anytime I go to New York City, I think, look at all these buildings. These skyscrapers, but there's a wonder to it. So the disciples were walking around with Jesus in wonder of the temple and these buildings, and they were talking to him about it. They came to him to cause attention to its buildings. Verse 2. Do you see all these things? He asked. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. There's something that's going to happen here that is going to be so powerful that not one stone is going to be left on. The buildings are not going to matter anymore in this situation. Buildings aren't going to matter. You're not going to care about what that looks like. The first fill-in that I want you to write in today is the declaration of his return. The declaration of his return. In the history of the church, there's been this simple declaration, which you should have in your notes. So today I'm going to do two things. I'm going to be going back from the notes to the Bible and vice versa, from the notes to the Bible. And so here in the notes, this declaration, I'd like to say it together if we can, the declaration of his return. Here it is. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is coming again. Let's say that together one more time. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is coming again. Christ has died. He is risen. Easter, we celebrate what he's done for us. But listen, it doesn't end there. He's coming again. He is coming again. The return of the King. Not the last verse in the Bible, in all of the Bible. If you look at the very last verse, and you don't have to do this now, you can do it some other time. But at the very end of the Bible, the last book is a book called Revelation. The very last verse, and right before the last verse, this scripture is written here. And this is, I believe, one of the things that the scripture declares. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Again, this is the verse right before the very last verse in the Bible. And it's Jesus declaring, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am returning. These are his words. And before Jesus left, he gave instructions to the disciples, and he always encouraged them with words of courage, with words of love. And here it is saying, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am returning for you. The King is returning. We can't see it. We can't go somewhere and go see Jesus sitting on his throne. And because of that, people think, well, he must not exist or he must not be. No, no, no. The King is in the heavens, and we can't see him here on earth, but the Bible says that he's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. I shared this with the first service that I think it's interesting that Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected from the dead. And if I was Jesus, I would just go on a tour all over the world presenting myself and saying, hey, look at me. I'm alive. You've got to believe in me. And he should go everywhere, man, and tell people. And if you do that, Christianity will grow like crazy. But Jesus does not do that. He did show himself to several people, to the disciples, and the Bible says to over 500 people. And the scripture says, by the way, the scripture says, when the Gospels were written, that the people that Jesus saw, when the Gospels were written, were still alive. Are you with me? So when the Gospels are written, somebody's writing them and sending them out to the churches, telling the story of Jesus. And when they talk about the resurrection, that the same scriptures say, he appeared to 500. Some of them are still with us. Now, the Gospels were written some years after Jesus' life. It wasn't like Jesus was walking around and somebody was writing down everything that he did. There was people that saw him and later on wrote the account of the story of Jesus from Peter, from the people that were close to him, from Luke, the physician, who studied very carefully everything that Jesus did. But the point is, if the Gospels were false, they couldn't say some of these people that saw Jesus are still alive today, because they could go to say, hey, Julia, you were there when Jesus appeared. Was that true? And if her answer was, no, that's not true, he didn't appear to me, I don't know what to talk about, then the gospel, that's the end of Christianity. Are you with me? Because the people were still alive, but that didn't happen. What happened was, no, I saw him, and yes, I saw him, and things spread like wildfire. The declaration of his return, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. What are you hoping for in your life? The lottery? Don't raise your hand. Anybody play the lottery? You know, if only I could win the Take Five or whatever, or the Millions, right? If I could do that, some people put their hope in the lottery. For most people, I guess somebody wins, right? People win. We see it on TV, right? But for most people, it ain't going to happen. And we live our lives trusting in something that ain't going to happen. I was having a conversation with some folks. There is a particular person who their entire life have lived a life for themselves, a selfish life. Anytime that you're with them, all they care about is what they want to do, and that's kind of like how they do life. And consequently, a lot of people don't like spending a lot of time with them because they're always wanting to do what they want to do. They don't really care about someone else. And this it's been the same for years. Now, there's a crisis situation, and this person is supposed to help someone else. But in the middle of this crisis, because his entire life has been about him, even now in this crisis situation where he should drop everything and help this person that's very close to him, he still continues to think about himself. He still continues to think about himself. And it's amazing. If the lottery is our hope, or if we are our own God, or you're maybe waiting for a particular relationship or someone to change, that is not a guarantee. We don't know what's going to happen. I hope that you win the lottery. Make sure you tithe. Amen? Hallelujah. Tithe your lottery earnings, praise God, to your local church. However, my point is this. Well, sometimes we hope in something. Listen, we spend our life hoping on something that is never going to happen. We live our lives trying to work on this and doing something in the hopes. And maybe it'll happen, and that's okay. I'm not talking about pursuits. I want you to pursue dreams. I want you to study. I want you to become an entrepreneur. I want you to love God with all your heart, that you allow God to change you and your family, all that stuff. God is a God of the impossible, amen? I'm not talking about not having faith. But what I'm talking about is make sure that your faith is in one who can do something about your situation, not in something else, amen? The Bible says that he's coming back again. That's not lottery, folks. That is a scriptural fact. Everything that the scripture has talked about has happened, including to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was prophesied that they were going to be outcast from their land for many years, and they were. And it was also prophesied that at some point, miraculously, God would bring them back, and he did. There was a time not too long ago where the nation of Israel did not exist. I don't know if you know that or not. But there, after World War II, there was all kinds of scenarios where miraculously, the nation of Israel, they declared, okay, this area is going to be the nation of Israel once again, so people can have a safe place. And if you know anything about the Holocaust, you know all the stuff that happened, a safe place for Israel to come back to. It was miraculous. And by the way, I read a historical account. The day that the nation of Israel declared, okay, this is our land, that day there was war declared on Israel. I'm not making this up. You can look this up. This is a historical fact. War was declared on Israel the day that they said, we're a nation, and they won. Israel won through miraculous things. All my point is, all of it was prophesied in the scriptures, and it's come to pass. When Jesus says, I'm coming back again, I'm coming soon, we can take that to the bank. You might not be able to take the lottery check to the bank, but you can take the words of Jesus to the bank. Amen? The declaration of his return. Above all, the scripture says, 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing, making fun of, mocking, and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, that means a long time ago, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It's just the way it's been. Nothing's changing. I love that Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, was the one who addressed this issue. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. The first villain is the declaration of his return. The second villain is the reason for his return. The reason for his return. And again, we just read in Matthew 24 that the disciples came to him privately and said, what's going to happen? What is the deal? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and you can follow along in your scriptures in the Bible. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What will be the sign of your coming, Jesus, and the end of the age? Just stick with me for a second. The end of the age and the return of Jesus are closely linked. Amen? In the scriptures, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Those are closely linked. The reason for his return. The reason for his return. The scripture says in John 17, 24, why? Why is he returning? Father, this is Jesus speaking, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. I'm going to read that again. Father, I want those you have given me to what? To be with who? To be with me. Jesus wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. What's the reason for his return? Why is he not just leaving us be? Why is he just letting things happen? No, because he wants to be with us where I am and to see my glory. I would love to both be with Jesus, like if I could actually see him close, and I would love to see his glory. Of course, we are with the Lord, right? The Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. But I would love to see his glory. And he wants to reveal that. That's one of the reasons why he's coming back for us. Amen? The return of the King. He's coming back for his church. He is coming back for you and for me. The scripture also says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. One of the reasons Jesus hasn't come back yet is because not everybody, he is longing. He wants everyone to come to repentance. Ever say repentance? Repentance is a change of heart. Repentance is a change of heart. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I actually know that I'm doing some things that are wrong and against God, and I have this thought, God, please don't come back now. I'm messing up. I'm doing something I shouldn't. Or sometimes there's people that I talk to all the time and say, you know, Pastor, I don't want to come to church today because I feel like I've done wrong and I feel like I've sinned or I feel like I've messed up and I don't feel worthy to come to church. And I usually tell people, that's the time where you need to come to church the most. Our church, the church of Jesus Christ, should be a place full of grace, full of mercy, full of the love of God, because Jesus is calling out to us. I shared with you, some of you last week, that the story of the prodigal son is simply a story of a man who had gone astray. And he said, maybe my daddy will take me back. And as he was coming back, dad did not wait for him to get to the house. He ran over to his son, embraced him, and said, hey, you were lost, but now you come back to me. Do you know that the second that your heart starts turning to God, the Father leaves and starts running towards you? Hallelujah. That's the kind of mercy and the kind of love that our Father has for us. The reason for his return, he is longing to be with us, but he's waiting. He's waiting because once he returns, the clock stops. It's the coming of Jesus and the end of the age. The season of grace is now, but once he comes back, the clock stops. He is not slow in keeping his promise. He wants everyone to come to repentance. It's the reason why he's not showing up yet. Verse 31 in Matthew 24, if you want to skip down there in the scriptures in the Bible, verse 31 says this, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Let's talk about when Jesus comes back, he's going to send his angels, and he's going to gather his elect. He's going to gather his kids. Some people don't like this idea of the elect, those who Jesus, the Lord, has elected or chosen. And according to the scriptures, here's what the Bible says. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe with our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. At that moment, you become a child of God. You say, why do you have to do that? Because somebody asked Jesus, tell us a little bit more about who you are. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When he returns, the Bible says that he's going to send his angels to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. This is what the Bible says. I know some people say, but I don't believe that. And I respectfully simply say, I tell people all the time, I respect what folks believe. You know, I do. And I love people right where they're at. I have chosen to stake my eternity. When I drop dead, I'm going to choose to trust in what the scripture says, what Jesus says, rather than what someone else says. And I respect people's, and so does God, by the way. He respects people's decisions to say, you know what, if this is what you choose, that's your choice. That's why he's coming back for those who have said yes to him. Amen? And some people have problems with the scriptures, but they don't believe in the scriptures. No, but the Bible shouldn't say that God's coming back for his people. It should say that he's coming back for everyone. And I say, well, wait a second. I thought you didn't believe in the Bible. So why do you care what the Bible says? But I am going to put my trust and my faith. Look, and hear me, loved ones. And you know, most of you know, that I've held a dying person in my arms. I have decided to stake my eternity, the eternity of my soul, on the words of Jesus and the scriptures. And I have found that those words bring life. Those words bring comfort. Those words bring redemption. I respect others, and I bless them, and I love them, and I hope they love me and respect me too. But I believe this book. I believe that Jesus is coming back again. The reason for his return. The next one is the season of his return. The season of his return. The scripture says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Everyone say, like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The scripture says in Matthew 24, verse 36 to 39, you have it there with you. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. In other words, no, why are you doing that? You're believing God. You're building this boat. There's no water. And then the water started to come down. Noah and his family were in the ark. And then everyone said, wait a second. What God was saying was true. That's the way that the coming of the Son of Man will be, according to the scriptures. The declaration of his return, the reason for his return, and the season of his return. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Then our mission until he returns. What's our mission? What do we do between now and when Jesus comes back? Just come to church every day? Anybody want to come to church every day? I don't. Right? I love being in church. I love being with the community. But it's not about being at church every day. What do we do? What do we do until he returns? The scripture says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11, and this is in your notes here, and we're finishing up here in 1 minute. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. The first thing that I believe God wants us to do until he returns, until Jesus returns, is watch. And you see that word there. It's watch. He says, therefore, be alert and of sober mind. That means pay attention to what's happening. Be careful what you allow into your mind. Be careful what you allow to consume your soul. Be careful what is dictating your life. Are you living for the lottery? Are you living for a relationship? Are you living for your next high? Or are you living with the hope of Jesus Christ in your life? And can I just tell you, we don't just wait until he comes and then life is boring until Jesus comes. No, every day there is revelation. Every day there is strength. Every day there's forgiveness. Every day that I look at this book and consume this book, life comes into my heart and my mind. I become a better father. I become a better husband. I become a better human being because I'm doing what God calls me to do. Amen? Every single day. Watch. Be careful. Be careful. We're going to have a time of prayer here in a minute after the offering. And I would invite you, if any part of this message is touching you, I want you to come and pray with us. And say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want you to agree that God will stir up in my heart a desire for him and a recognition that he's coming back. The second thing that we do until he returns is pray. So watch and pray. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. The third thing is love. Watch and pray. Be careful what's going on in your life. Pray. Connect with God. We talk about becoming a champion. Connect to God first. Every day, connect to him. And love the people. Love God and love people. Even the annoying people in your life. Amen? God wants us to love them. God help me to be a lover of people and a lover of you. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Well, I don't have the gift of singing. Whatever gift you have received. Well, I don't have the gift of administration. I don't have the gift of speaking. Whatever gift you have received, use it to do what? What does it say there? To serve. To serve others. To serve others. So that's the last fill in there. Watch, pray, love, and serve. I would encourage you to take a look at Matthew 24 in your private study time. Jesus talks a lot about the things that are to come in the future and how to approach it. How to approach it. I'm going to read this. If we can read this together, you can stay seated. But I want us to read this final part together. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. And it's on the notes here. This is talking about the Lord's return. It says this. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Pastor, do you believe that's true? Yes. I believe that is going to happen. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you're coming back. You're not leaving us by ourselves. You're coming for your people. And I pray that all of us would be open to the work that you're doing in this community and our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.